Welcome to Russell Investments Market Week in Review for the week ending June 2nd, 2023. I'm Zoe Wargans, and I am joined by our Chief Investment Strategist, Eric Christobin.
Hey, Zoe.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm good.
That is great to hear. All right, so the first thing on everyone's mind this week, let's talk about that debt ceiling deal.
Yep. So we got a deal.
We did.
Which was, you know, awesome. It was announced, obviously, over the weekend that a deal was struck, and I think it's, you know, if you look at market reactions, I was looking this afternoon, you know, the S&P 500 pretty much dead bang on where it closed on Friday, so last Friday. So it really, all in all, the market reaction has been very muted. And I think, you know, the question now is it's passed the House, which is awesome. It passed by almost 200 votes, excess votes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was well accepted, at least generally, by the House. Not by everybody, obviously.
Of course.
Hardliners did exactly the criticism we expect them to do. We wrote a couple blogs that said, here's what we expect them to criticize, and they criticized them.
There we go.
We're off to the Senate. The stakes politically are so significant, and the stakes for the economy and the markets are so significant that we, as we expected when the deal was struck, that you're going to get congressional passage. We assume the Senate will pass. Now, the overall impact economically is going to be muted. A fair amount of conversation around that. There are some spending limitations that the Democrats, that was part of their concessions. The Republicans made other concessions. But when you look at the totality of the economic impact of those concessions in terms of spending, it's probably 1 to 2 tenths of GDP, which is effectively a rounding error. So it really doesn't affect our math on kind of recession probability. So our recession probability remains where it was before all of this folderol started at 55%. I suspect it's going to take some other things to change before that number either moves up or down.
That makes a lot of sense. All right. Thanks, Eric. That has been a very interesting thing to follow along this week.
Yep.
Speaking of other things that might change, I believe the jobs report is coming out soon. Is that
tomorrow? Right?
Tomorrow, yes.
Yeah.
What do you think the Fed's reaction to that might be?
Well, first of all, let's put consensus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So last month, I think we did 253,000 jobs. We'll see if it gets amended, but that was what was posted initially for April. The May numbers expected to come in right now, consensus expectations are 188,000, for less. I think that even if the number's a little higher than that, it seems pretty clear the Fed is going out of its way to signal that they're pausing, that there isn't going to be a hike in June, that they're going to kind of let the data play out, that they think they're well into restrictive territory, and they're going to see if they're right in that assumption. That doesn't mean, like, in July or in the summer they're not going to raise rates, but I think you can pretty much safely say they're done in June. Our view is they're probably done. That some of the impact of the cumulative impact of all those rate rises are beginning to actually show up in multiple parts of the economy. So we think they're probably done.
Okay, so they're going to wait and see just how much that develops maybe in June. We'll
see.
That makes sense. Sounds good. All right, last thing to hit on today, ECB.
Yes. So the opposite end of this spectrum. Christine Lagarde has been pretty direct this week that there's more ground to cover in terms of raising interest rates. They don't think they're in restrictive enough territory right now, at least for their comfort level, to kill off inflation. We did see an inflation number in Europe that was lower and meaningfully lower month on month. But, you know, those numbers can be pretty volatile month to month. And so, you know, she has a lot better data and a lot more transparency to that data than most of us do. So the fact that she made that statement, I think, knowing what that inflation number was. They tend to know before they're released.
Yeah.
They're held secret to everybody, but probably not the president of the ECB. So she said that. I think, you know, it's interesting. It's becoming more and more likely, in our opinion, that the ECB is probably going to end up in as restrictive a monetary policy for Europe as the Federal Reserve is for the U.S., and that's pretty significantly restrictive. So we'll see how that plays out. Obviously, inflation, as you kind of, you know, we were talking earlier, inflation is kind of the number one focus of the central banks. I think it remains that way, but I think there's signs that that is improving, but probably, at least in Europe's case, not fast enough.
Going to be an interesting week to watch. Well, thank you so much, Eric. As always, your insights are fascinating and helpful. And thanks to all of you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week.